When we sing Just As I Am, who do you think of when you hear that hymn? Billy Graham. I cannot sing that song without thinking of Billy Graham. I was even in a Billy Graham crusade once and found myself in the crowds of thousands who were trying to figure their way to the front to rededicate or to dedicate their life to God. So as a child, every time my dad began flapping his arms and leading us in another round of Just As I Am, I couldn't stay in my pew. It was either because I knew there was something I had done that week, and my dad knew very well I hadn't sought forgiveness for. That was always a shoo-in for him. That was too easy. Or maybe it was because I thought it was necessary for me to do that in order to be forgiven. Is it necessary for us to go on the last stanza of the song to the altar to be forgiven? How many of us have not ever realized that it isn't necessary? It's not about the act of our coming in order that we be forgiven, but to recognize God's already taken care of that. God knew before you were born you were going to screw it up one day. And you might even do it more than once. I found myself in that same place 2 weeks ago at General Conference, and I actually felt more like my little cousin, who I think I shared with you once when she was in a spat with her other little cousin, who said, my aunt turned around and said, "Now, Sarah, what does the Bible teach us about forgiving our neighbor?" Nana, I am not in the mood for a Bible verse. Well, I'm grown up, and there are times that I am not in the mood for a Bible verse. I'm just not there. And then I've found myself falling into that pattern. Maybe going to the altar every time of Just As I Am got me stuck in that pattern that I had to earn it before I could receive it. Anybody feel that way besides me? Gosh, that's a terrible place to be. It's not freeing at all. It binds us up and it chokes out life. So 2 weeks ago, before we started the debates, and I have to say, I shouldn't call it debate, but let's name what it was. We were all there with an agenda. We wanted to have our particular plan go through at General Conference. And for those of you who might be visiting first, I apologize that you don't know what General Conference was about. And then I'm almost relieved you don't know. But it was where we as human beings did our best to understand God and God's relationship with human beings, and we just really struggle with that. We're all so sure we understand how we're supposed to act and be and who can fit and who doesn't fit and how we do it, and we're so busy trying to perfect it that we forget the very first word from Christ on the cross. Forgive them. They're really clueless human beings. We created this mess. Might have been the next conversation. Which is why we bring the Holy Spirit and implant the Holy Spirit in each of their hearts, that they might come to a place of recognizing that they're not going to get this thing right. We just want them to follow. We want them to stop the judgment. We want them to stop the persecution. We want to stop them from saying who's in and who's out. We want them to stop the divide. We want them to stop the hate. We want them to dance freely with us in this marvelous, freeing relationship of unconditional love and grace, grace, grace. So on that first day of General Conference, it was a worship experience. I even think we sang Just As I Am, now that I think about it, didn't we? I think somewhere along that day we sang Just As I Am. And I was so excited and pumped up because I really felt like the church was coming together. And even though we didn't agree on all issues, we had made a decision in that praying together and singing together and worshiping together that we were going to harmonize and be one. And then later on in the day, we were asked to pray with 2 to 3 people we did not know. which meant I was already uncomfortable because Nancy was sitting next to me and I would have been perfectly fine just praying with Reverend Nancy Griswold. But we were asked to seek out people we didn't know. And we were to ask them to pray for us specifically, me. Ask someone to pray for me. Well, the people to my left, I didn't know. They weren't with Nancy and me. So I just got out of my seat and I came over beside them and I said, could we pray together? Would you please pray for me? Now, I would like to say that the response was, they will know we are Christians by our love. But instead it was, we're going to wait on someone else. Then I would like to tell you that my next response was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. But instead, I ran to Pastor Nancy, and I said, you are not going to believe those people. I was crushed. They'd been singing Kumbaya and Just As I Am with me. And I'm making fun of it, but I have to tell you, my heart was broken. I'm a naive follower of Christ, I guess. To think that we really do work hard at letting go of all the things that trip us up so we can be about God's agenda of loving one another, embracing one another, forgiving one another, reconciling with one another, accepting all people, and being the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we're not. We're not. We're humans. So I really don't find it surprising that Christ's first word was forgive them. Forgive them. They're broken. They're broken. The gentleman sitting to me turned his back to me for the rest of the day and for almost the rest of the conference until finally Nancy and I said, maybe we should get up and move to a more embracing place to sit. But you know what I had to do? I had to reckon with my own resentment and bitterness. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where just the smallest little insult becomes a thorn in your flesh and you dwell on that and it just drives you nuts? It just about blows a gasket, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's because God didn't create you for a spirit of resentment and bitterness. God knew that if the teeniest little thing can get under your skin and eat at you and cause you to become the unloving, unfavorable, unkind person, that you're not going to be worth anything to the kingdom, but cause more harm to the kingdom. If you can't handle the tiniest little insults, what are you going to do when you find out our partnership in causing such harm that we could have the audacity to hold such resentment and hatred toward a human being, we would nail that human being to the cross. And we would feel entitled to that. Have you ever felt that resentment? Have you ever been so bitter about something that's happened to you that it's just eaten away at your life and you can't experience any joy or peace in your life? The season of Lent serves a great purpose for us. To start afresh, at a place where we realize our humanness on Ash Wednesday, where we know we are created in dust. We're going to create our own dust, and then we're going to return to dust. But that we have been given this amazing gift of abundant, eternal life. And this life is relationship. It's this holy dance with the Trinity that God desires more than you could ever, ever dream of. And would give anything in the world, including his life on the cross, if we would be willing to just lay that at the foot of the cross. Look, I know how hard it is to let go of past hurts and wounds. I was recently asked, what coping skills do you do when these past wounds and these past hurts come up? What do you do about that? How do you find peace in your life? Well, I go to Al-Anon with my husband, Ward. And Al-Anon is a 12-step program that our church hosts over at the Hospitality House, along with other support groups. And I am so thankful for this church, for having space, created a space of grace for people to encounter reconciliation and peace and hope and restoration in their lives. I had no idea I would be one sitting in the program, but I'm very, very grateful for it. Because I realized over time that some of those justifications that I had with someone who I loved, who it was creating harm and dissension in our midst, was a person who would actually be a gift of gratitude for me. Because you see, that person's situation created the avenue for me to go and find a place of forgiveness. Because the first thing I realized was, I'm powerless. On my own, I have no power to forgive myself or that person or anyone else for that matter. Al-Anon, along with scripture and a devotional life, gave me the tools I needed to look at my brother to my left and feel his pain at General Conference. And to experience the wave of pain when we made the decision to go the traditionalist plan. Oh boy, whether you were with the traditionalist plan or whether you were with the more progressive plan, it didn't matter because in the moment, everyone sensed a sting that was happening to the body of Christ. And it felt like all the energy and air was sucked out of that football stadium. To know the forgiveness of God and to be able to translate it to a broken world is Christ's words from the cross. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, as a human being, my experience was not one of absolute love in the moment, perfect love in the moment. Man, I was just as ripped up apart as everybody else sitting in there. And I looked across the stadium and I saw my African brothers and sisters, who I know in their land, if anyone even mentions LGBTQ, they're persecuted. They can be killed if they come out. So I didn't want any harm going there, right? You know, wherever we were in the decision that we needed to make, whether it was over here and my brothers and sisters, my young adults, our young adults throughout the U.S., who were there hoping we could go with a one church plan or at least a plan that would allow us to be the church to the communities in which we served within the context of where we were. Okay, here in the U.S., we've become a little bit more open-minded with our understanding and our embrace of the LGBTQA, and we have a lot of A's here. You know what A's are? A's are allies. That's you as a grandmother, a grandfather, an aunt, an uncle, a parent of someone who is gay or lesbian. I'm an ally. I'm an ally. So I went with an agenda that we would be this one church eventually, and we could be the church within the context of where we move and serve in the world. And it just didn't happen, folks. So when we went with the one plan that says, nope, we're still needing to recognize that the discipline says and we're going to hold to homosexuality is not compatible with Christian teaching. Man, my heart broke. My heart broke for my family, for my friends, for those of you out who have come to me about your own family members and your friends. That was a heavy boulder. And I found myself repeating the song in my head that got played in the midst of the song that you were singing today. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Folks, forgiveness is an incredible gift. It's a powerful gift that God desires for you. God knows every broken pathway, whether it's one you caused or one that has so wrapped up your life that it's been caused to you. God knows the bee sting you feel because it's just recently happened, through a broken relationship or through some area of pain you've experienced, some deep, deep wound, and the sting is almost more than you can bear. God also knows those rerun movies we play over in our head. Sometimes I had a friend in college that said, hell is going to be when we get to heaven and we're asked to watch home movies. The repeat stories of the wounds we caused in life. You know what? That is not the God I love and serve. God has taken that sting for us. And God says, I love you enough to take that from you because I know you can't enjoy an abundant life, a full, rich, beautiful life that is a part of transforming the person sitting next to you and the people in your family and the friends that you have and the people at the supermarket and at the restaurant where you are. Wherever you find yourself, you have the ability to transform the world. But if you hold anger and bitterness and hate in your heart, it will get the best of you. It will get the best of you. I hope in the season of Lent, you will not be afraid to revisit the past. And if you need help in revisiting the past, that you will seek out people who can help you revisit the past. A therapist, I'm meeting with mine tomorrow. She called to remind me that I have an appointment, and I'm going to have to confess about general conference, I know. But it will be healing experience for me because I've entrusted her to bear my wounds and to help me get through some difficult things in my life. It might be that you need to meet with one of the pastors here, and we've got a number of them. And they would be so happy to have you come and share whatever that burden or that load is so you can get that out and move on with a joy-filled, purposeful life God intends for you. So how do we begin? Well, it might be when you listen to Just As I Am and you come forward, but I think it can begin in your own prayer life, however you connect with God. The God of your own understanding, and I hope that understanding includes an incredible amount of unconditional love, a love you cannot measure, and a grace you cannot outgrow. And then it continues on with being able to own those own things that God desires to change in your own life. Sometimes when we hold resentment towards someone, we're hoping God will change. There are a bunch of psalms that are lament psalms, and they're all about God, and there's a song, a country song, somebody done somebody wrong song, right? God, that somebody done somebody wrong. Go get him. Seek, destroy. And then there must have been a long pause that we're not familiar with because the psalm continues. And then I trust in the Lord, who understands me through and through and knows my heart. So I will wait. You know, the psalm we read about his feathers covering over us, I had that experience when I was in a very strong, resentful situation. And I was feeling pretty entitled to my anger. And at 4:00 in the morning, I was disturbed and woke up and went and sat on the sofa. And in the silence, I felt God's presence hovering around me. And I asked God not to go sick him, but to forgive me. Because really, forgiveness is about changing ourselves first. We will never have the power to change another human being. We have to change ourselves, allow God to change what's going wrong in us, that we might then bear the light in another person's darkness. So prayer and getting help and finding ourselves recentered in God. And then naming it, and then here's the step, and I can't let you go until we talk about going to those we've wounded and seeking forgiveness. I'm so grateful that Peter didn't get sick last week, because I was not in a place of forgiving anybody last week. In fact, some of you said, you look so sad, and I was still so sad. But during this week, I was given an opportunity to meet someone in my past who I had caused some pretty deep wounds to about 20 years ago. And so I found myself in this person's presence, and I was doing, oh my gosh, how's the weather? We talked about all kinds of... And I picked up my keys, and I started to walk outside, and I remembered. I remembered, Laura, I want to do this change in you. Go and seek forgiveness. So I went to this person. I said, look, do you have a minute? Yeah, sure. What do you need? I said, I desperately need you to forgive me because I caused you a lot of heartache and pain a long time ago, and a lot of water's gone under the bridge, but this log keeps finding its place there every time. And I'm not necessarily asking you to remove the log. God can do that for me. But I just want you to know how sorry I am for having hurt you way back then. I felt a sense of freedom overcome me. And it wasn't because he gave words that freed me, but because God did that in me in the moment that I confessed. I was grateful that he said, thank you for those words and I accept your forgiveness, but I mean, I accept your apology, but that doesn't always happen, does it? The freeing comes when we release back to God what it is God needs to do in those broken spaces so that God can heal and renew us. And once we allow God to do that, then the doors fling wide open for us to encounter this unconditional love and to be embraced by those pinions of love, to strengthen us, to heal us, to make us new, so that maybe we do become a part of that healing agent in another person's life. I still have a lot of fixing to do within. And my prayer is that God will continue to leave me wide open to reveal those places where maybe just I haven't even been aware. I have this unknowing, as Jesus said from the cross. But it is only when I come to the cross, when I come before Christ and I say, open this mind of mine, because I know your heart's desire is to do something new. Forgive me for the times that I think I have all the answers. And I am the judge. And help me open my mind and my heart to receive the beauty of your love in this eternal life. That I'll have the strength and the boldness and the courage to go in the places of the world that need your love, that need to know your forgiveness and your grace. That's the only way we can do it. I hope as you proceed through the season of Lent, you'll begin with those places that where God needs to touch and make a difference in your life. I know that you have the ability to do that because you're just like me. But we need the fire of the Holy Spirit. At conference, we didn't clap. Well, some did, but it wasn't about the clapping. But it was about reminding ourselves of the Holy Spirit. So this was a hand gesture. I don't know if that's actually in sign language, but we saw a lot of that going on. So my prayer for you is that you will make space for grace, this place for the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to make you new and whole. That's what God desires. I desire it too for you. I hope that you will let the wind blow wherever the wind wants to blow you. As you journey to the cross, would you pray with me? God, you know us through and through. You hold us, you've created us, and you have this marvelous desire to keep recreating us, and I am so grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the icons and the things in life that remind us, creation that reminds us of your forgiving, reconciling love. God, we need your help to even begin to open up our minds and our hearts to the something new you want to do in us. But God, I know that you are able. And I know that you will make us able to allow you to do that something new in us. God, we love you. Help us learn how to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen.